Hello, listeners, and welcome to today's sermon, composed and presented by myself, Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Centre in Dola. This is the second Sunday of Advent. My question today is, where is the world of equality and unity and kindness and charity? And is inspired by the sentiments expressed in the first reading today from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. But everywhere around us in the world, we see a lot of conflict, evil, disunity, corruption, poverty, injustices, unequal opportunities. The rich can afford to have justice given, while the poor are at the mercy of fellow human beings. Why is it that 83% of the world's riches are in the hands of 1% of the world's population? How unequal can it get? And before we should point fingers at the seemingly rich and put the blame on them, just listen to the following and see how we may be part of the problem as well. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. You are richer than 75% of the world's population. If you have money in the bank, your wallet, and some spare change, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, or the horrible pangs of starvation, you are luckier than 500 million people alive today. Or if you can read and write, you are more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read or write at all. That should be sobering and self-accusative. All of the world's population are born equal, and we die equal, in the sense that in death everyone has only what they have earned in heavenly riches to carry them over the great divide. In birth, we come naked into the world, but somehow between our births and deaths, a whole history of unequal lives happens. It depends on each person's life's circumstances to map out our earthly destiny. Some are privileged to be born into royalty. Some are born into middle-class circumstances. And the greater majority are born into abject poverty, with little or no opportunities for making it to a different, more comfortable set of circumstances. Does our church community make a difference in creating this Eden-type world before the fall among us? When in church on Sundays, the great divide or division between us all should be abolished, whereby we all treat each other with kindness and respect, and where there is care and consideration for everyone, even no matter what division in society we come from. In church, we tend to put each other into our categories, namely poor, middle, and upper class. Our Church of Christ shall wipe out that class distinction, but does it? Are we listeners, and then we choose to ignore the lesson? Especially of today in the first reading, where the state of Eden will be restored In that state of bliss, even the animals and humans will be in harmony with each other. One wonders if this can happen, if it does happen. John the Baptist sees these divisions clearly, and he hits hard. He doesn't care. His life is so simple. His dress code is certainly not in keeping with most societies, even back then. He sees the hypocrisy and the lack of awareness among his hearers. The class distinctions, the upper class, the lower class. He's really asking, are they going to be part of the solution? And the way to be part of the solution is to repent of the evil of division among us. He was asking for us to be washed from this way of thinking. Be aware of it and ask to be cleansed. Jesus liked what he was preaching and saw his vision was that which expressed what he came to bring to the world. Many of us, and those of John the Baptist's time and Jesus' time, would see the solution in revolution. Clear out the Romans. And we say, get rid of the politicians who are corrupt, and then we'll solve our divisions. But it is for each and every one to repent and see the falsity that is in our hearts and ways of living that props up these class distinctions that are in society. See how we love possessions and riches and crave them above creating the Eden world before the fall. See how pleasure-seeking in eating and drinking and satisfying our lower appetites we are. And see what occupies our minds rather than the holiness of the community expressed in the first reading. It calls for a change of heart, or as John says, repentance, baptism in water, a change of direction, and then let our lives be submitted to our Heavenly Father, who will then use us as instruments to create this heavenly-like earth, even today. So, this Advent, let us do it. Change, repent, and submit our lives to our Heavenly Father. We are definitely being sought after by God. This is another reality. We are on the threshold of a close encounter with God, I believe. It's our fears and our guilt from the past that annihilates us and destroys us, poor creatures on this earth. God doesn't want that. Of course we are weak and sinful, but in realizing that, and that's what we should do, is realize it, and that's what all the saints did, and saying, I don't want to be that way anymore. Then we are in a new earth, a new situation. We cannot change, but it is God who does it for us. Our role is so small. Only realize that you should not and ought not to hate, revenge anyone, covet, speak lies, seeking pleasure as if it is our everything in life. It only leads, as we know, to self-destruction. Oh, what a wonderful world we live in. And how necessary it is for us to believe and welcome Christ the Saviour, who is the author of all of this. This is Father Tom Casey signing off now and wishing you a beautiful Sunday of the second week of Advent. And of course, great blessings in the week to come.